Okay, so we're going to speak about basar v'challav, cooking basar v'challav, cooking milk, cooking meat, and how that applies today's days. Now here's an interesting question. How would it be possible for somebody to eat a sandwich which has in it cheese and meat in one sandwich, and I said there are one of them to eat it, but maybe to cook milk in a clean pot, nothing else in it, not to eat anything from it, and still to be over in Issa de Raisa. And not only that, but the milk that's in the pot is not only also the achila, which didn't happen, because you didn't eat it, but it's also the hanor as well. Which means that sometimes eating milk and meat could be chomer, but not as chomer as cooking something in a clean pot. How's that? How could that be? So this is possible if somebody cooks milk in a place you get pot that's a benyoymoy, that still has real bleas in it, and therefore this milk, which was cooked with the tam basar, could be also banomi deraisa. It was cooked with meat. You don't see the meat? Tam keke deraisa, right? But the sandwich could be milk and meat separate. They were never cooked together. As long as they were never cooked together, they said they're albama. What's the point of this riddle? The point is here, just to realize that there is such a thing that regardless of eating, and without any eating, there is an isabishal basar v'challav, deraisa, which needs to be paid attention to in the way we cook in our kitchen, not only because what will you eat or not eat, without any eating. Bishal basar v'challav is isa deraisa and causes, therefore, isurei achila, isurei hanor, whatever it is. And like I said, sometimes it could be more chomer even than eating an actual piece of cheese with meat. That's not to suggest that anyone should do that either. But both of these things are their own, have their own chumrah. So therefore, what are we finding out here? We're finding out that sometimes to use the wrong pot cover, as we shall see, the wrong spoon, just kalim, could sometimes be, worse than eating basar v'challav. So this is what we want to figure out. A lot of what we want to figure out tonight is going to be about bishul basar v'challav. Not only, but much of it. What happens in our kitchens? This is what we want to spend some time on. And it brings us to a few plain, simple questions. For example, can you use the same oven for milchiks and fleishiks consecutively? Is that a problem? If it is, why is it a problem? Can one use the same microwave oven for milchiks and fleishiks? Is that a problem? Let's say a problem did happen. How can one now use the same oven again? Is it going to kasher these ovens? Yes or no? From basar, from challah, from hummus, also, question. Now, today's days, it's become much more prevalent that people actually have two different ovens, right? That's not the way that even I grew up, and certainly the older gentleman here definitely didn't grow up that way, with two separate ovens. But even when I grew up, we didn't actually use the same oven for milchiks and fleishiks. It was either set aside for one or the other, or for parv, or whatever it was. But normally, people did not use the same ovens for milchiks and fleishiks. And the question is, why is that? Why should an oven actually be defined as a fleishiga oven or as a milchiga oven, right? Well, the question is, I think it's much simpler to understand. When you take an actual pot, you put in milk into the pot. The milk is coming into direct contact with the pot. You put a piece of meat into a pot. The meat is in direct contact with the pot. So that this is something that all of us understand simply. Okay, that's a fleishiga pot, that's a milchiga pot. However, that's not what happens with an oven. Nothing touches the walls of the oven, at least not in the ideal case, right? Unless something went wrong. But generally, it's not how it's meant to be. So what's the problem there? So why does an oven have to be eaten milchiga fleishiga? Also, I want to point out, in the old days, real old days now, yeah? Going back to the 150 years ago, when people were still living in Eastern Europe, people definitely did not have two different ovens in the house. And forget about that. They had a fireplace, maybe, and that fireplace, or whatever they used as an oven within an individual home, so not everybody had such fancy ovens in their house in the old days. And a lot of them used to have the minute to all put their chalons into the communal, the baker's oven. Right? This is something that's found all over the place in the place. And the bakery had a big oven. He wasn't working on Shabbos, obviously. And everyone in the neighborhood would keep their chalons in the baker's oven. And in the houses, they also had some individual ovens. A little bit of sorts. Again, I don't know if you could call it a fireplace or an oven, whatever you want to call it. But the pastures is, it does seem that they did use the same oven for no matter whatever they did, that same oven. In other words, whether it was milchiga fleishiga or pie, it was being done in this one oven.
What about the baker? Was everything he made fleishiga?
Yeah, that's definitely a good question, right? What was he doing? Okay, so that's a good question. What did they do exactly? And as we move along, hopefully that will come clarified as well. But again, what changed? What changed? Why today? So some people will say, we came through Marcus today about everything. Is that the case? Or is anything different from the way it was in the old days, the way it is today? But Messias, let's not forget about, you know, whether we changed halachas. Did the Messias change? So, there is a plesik, by the way. There was one plesik who held that as long as an oven is clean, has no mamoshes, you should be able to continue to use it for both. But the vast majority of plesik did not hold that way. Why is that so? Another question. And this is a question that happens often, I think, actually. Which is, what happens if you bake the part of the thing in a fleishiga oven? Most commonly, where this question would actually be very negaya, would be, let's say, you bake cookies in a fleishiga oven. Now, you're an American, so you eat cookies and milk. So now what? Can you do that? Or just because the cookies were baked in a fleishiga oven, you can't eat them with milk anymore. I had tremendous, I know, when I was younger, you might have asked so. And this exact story happened. And we had already forgotten to cash in the oven from fleishiga, whatever it is, we baked the cookies in the fleishiga oven. Shaila, as a newly widow, called up the Yerushalayim Rav, Shaila Yid, you know, maybe Shaila could style. And I asked him, tell me, what do I do here? Are the cookies, what's up with the cookies? Are they fleishiga cookies? And he tells me, as I understand, you want to eat cookies and milk. But even before we get to what a stock was, which we'll get to later, I had a note from his, you know, he was in touch with what we do. But can you eat it with milk? And if you can, how would it be different, or would it be different, than part of a food which is cooked in a fleishiga pot, inside of a fleishiga pot? Is there a difference in food cooked in a fleishiga pot and food baked in a fleishiga oven? Yes or no? Another very serious question, which is negaya to so many of us, constantly. Right? Anyone who ever flies on an airplane, I'm not talking about the short domestic flight, but the longer flight. So you get yourself a real meal on the plane. Now you may want to imagine that they have separate ovens for kosher foods, but it's not the case. Not the mistake. And so therefore the question is, you have your kosher meal. It's in a plain tray for oven, right? Often together with the sauces that's being warmed in that same oven. Why Are we allowed, and I'm not going to ask if we're allowed to eat it, all of us do that, but why are we allowed to eat it, and what is it that makes that okay? Okay, so let's start checking the basics, and a lot of what we're going to do tonight is going to be elementary basic stuff, which you know, we're allowed to go through that, I think, once in a while, just go through the basics of, well, so I think most of us are aware of most of the basic things, but we'll try to make some say that out of it. We'll do a little different than usual. I'm not going into Gemaras and Sugyas. We're going to start from Shulchan Aruch and Pesachim, plain things that I think most of us have heard before. Somebody cooks milk in a clean Shulchan Aruch. Why is it called Basar V'Chalav? Like I said before, it is called Basar V'Chalav. Why? Why is it called Basar V'Chalav? So this is a basic concept in Aholos Asuris, which is called Belius. Belius means that a pot absorbs into itself, into its walls, of the substance that was cooked inside of it. Which means, just like when you take a piece of meat and cook it in a pot, there's meat inside the pot. There also is meat inside the walls of the pot. After you finish your cooking, you're left with meat inside the walls of the pot, which has become absorbed into those walls. And this is what's called tam ki'ika, which I said, tam ki'ika, yeah.
You can never get rid of it unless you play
blood.
You can't do anything to get rid of that.
Okay, so maybe as we go along, we'll get a little bit. But I think the first thing which I'll say right now is that one of these say this is that after 24 hours pass, although the taste is still in there, and the bleas are still in there, but they become less relevant, those chairs, but we're not going to get into all the details right now. Less relevant after 24 hours because they are then seen to be a nice and tamla for gam. Which means there's a flavor there, but it's a bad flavor, right? In other words, just like anything could spoil, the flavor in the world knows it could spoil, which already will solve the issue to a big degree. But, so we have these bleas, right? Inside the walls of the pot. That's called tam ki'ikar. The taste of something is like the actual food itself. So when you have the flavor of meat inside the walls of your pot, it's the same thing as having a piece of meat inside the walls of your pot, tam ki'ikar b'raisa. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tzadik Gimel of Yeridayas, it's Aleph, and he says that in Bishel Cholov, the seer, if you cook, he says, meat, milk, inside of a flesh of a pot, is lost to the Cholov because of the bleas of meat inside of the pot, and that comes from the Gemara. Okay. So now, let's go a step further with this. What happens now? Let's ask a question that wasn't asked. Let's say you cooked. So this is all talking about somebody who takes a fleshig pot and maybe absentmindedly takes something milking and puts it into the fleshig pot and just created terrible problems. But let's say you didn't do that. Right? You're not distracted. You're not absentminded. Fleshig and a fleshig pot. You got it right. You got the right food inside the right pot. However, you were only a little bit distracted. So on top of the fleshig pot, with the fleshig food inside it, you put a milchig cover on top now. Now, there's no milk anywhere. There's meat in a fleshig pot. Is that mutter? Or is that a problem? So that Ramah, on that if of Shulchan Aruch that we just spoke about, Tzadik Gimel Seif Aleph, the Ramah writes as follows. Din kisui kedeiro, Kedin kedeira atzma. The aloha of a pot cover is the same as the aloha of the pot itself. So, here we have a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. Again, we had meat inside a flesh of your pot or in the milk of your pot, we understand it's getting these leaves into the walls. Milk inside a flesh of your pot, we got that also. Now you have a cover on top of the pot. So now, again, you have no mago, no contact between the food that's in the pot and this pot cover. Here we're starting to get to further type of situations where there's no physical contact between the food and whatever it is that we're looking at here, and yet there seems to be a problem. I mean, it only seems to be. I'm not saying openly that there is a problem. So why is that? And if you look at the shach and the taz on the spot here, they offer no explanation. What's the problem with a pot cover? Again, no direct physical contact. If you look in the Bir HaGrover, this is where we start to get to the Yisoid, which is going to help a lot of our shayos. It's very chashuv Yisoid, And the Bi'ur HaGro, anyone who's ever seen Bi'ur HaGro, he says all of his choshes to Yitzhak, there's some three letters sometimes, or in three words, or whatever it is. And sometimes it's just a minor marker, because that's what the Bi'ur HaGro most often does. Tells you, look here, look here, look here. So he says, Kemoy Shekosov, the Simon Tzadik Beis Eifchas, Adkan Lashayim. In other words, he says, you want to understand the pot cover? Look at Simon Tzadik Beis Eifchas. What does that mean? That means, Lamosha, let's say you have a milking pot with milk inside it. Milking pot with milk inside it, and it's in the oven with no cover. Open milking pot. Milk inside it. No cover. Into the oven. Above it, in that same oven, or over, like the two shelves in the oven, you have an open milking pot on the bottom with milk inside it. On top of it, you have a fleishig pot with chicken inside it. And there's a space between these two pots. So there's no contact between the two of them. Is there a problem or not? So again, we're starting to understand here some connection between pot cover and oven. Because these are the cases where you have no direct contact, no physical contact between the food and whatever it is that we're looking at here. So these are similar cases. Even though they sound different, they're very similar. Another case.
When you have a pot on the stove also, there's a thing over the stove.
Good point. Another good point. Right. So now, sure, I'll take this another step. What happens if you have the veilers of trefers in your open pot on the bottom? Plain tray for food. Open pot on the bottom. Above it, pot with kosher food. Again, no direct contact between them. What's the halacha? So this is going to bring us to Tshuvas HaRosh. Now let's go back to one of the famous Gemaldic big Rishonim, Tshuvas HaRosh, in Klal Chof Simon Chof Vav, and brings a shaila that his son asked him. Who's his son? He had more than one son. Could have been the Torah, it was a Yehuda ben HaRosh, whoever it is, one of his sons, he doesn't say which son it is. B'ni, he answers him. Shesha'alta, he asked the shaila. Al ulfis chilevis. The exact shaila that we just went through, which is a milchiga pat. In yechoyven lofi tlamato bakiro tachas kedero shal bota. Can you put a milchiga pat on the bottom inside of an oven and on top of it is a fleishiga pat? That's our shaila.
Both uncovered?
Literally. Merely, let's see how he tells it back. Merely, she'osam. It's also, he says. Ta'afilu b'di'evet. Im nase, even if it's lachamais, you did it already. I'm not telling you what to do with it. B'di'evet, it was done. The deed has been done. Now what? What's up with the pot and the food? Ha'isi oisa akadere, he says. Even b'di'evet, I would still ask for the pot. Why? And here he gives us, the first time this musik, What does that mean? That means the steam coming off from the milchiga pot on bottom is the same thing as milk, he says. The steam rising from the milk is milk. As we see, he says in the Mishnah, the second parak of Machshir, which we'll see in a second. So what does that mean? You see a food inside the oven. It heats up, scientific fact, yeah? We're all in on the scientific fact.
That's why there is physical contact. You see, there is physical contact. That is wrong. There is physical contact.
That's what we need to get to right now. In other words, we have a food that's heating up, it's going to vaporize, it's going to turn into steam. And it is that same thing. Now I'm going to read some more from the Rosh of the Rosh himself. He says, Bizeyo hayoitseis min hadovor chashuvo keoitsei dovor. The theme that rises from something is that object.
It's extremely hard to really make pure steam. Triple distillation, you still have something in a pure water steam, is extremely difficult. There's always substances in that.
Oh, for humans, talking about triple distillation. We're talking about no distillation at all. We're talking about something that comes straight up, as it is, as it goes. Nimtzes, again, the words of the Rosh. Zeyaso ilfes choylevis hi kecholof. The steam that comes up from the milk of your pot is like milk itself. And he said he sees it in a Mishnah Machshirin. What's the Mishnah Machshirin? It's interesting. It's a fascinating point how he finds a makor in Mishnah Machshirin. Mishnah Machshirin is not talking about kashrus. It's not even talking about food at all. What's it talking about? It's talking about a bathhouse. A shvitzbom, like they call it in Yiddish. Right? And what did you have there? The Merachatz people used to spend time shvitzing in there, right? In the steam. And what does it say there? It says, Merachatz temeo. If you have a bath, which is tame, they also temeo. The steam arises from it is also tame. So he says, this is where we see this yesod, that when steam rises from something, it retains the status of the original item, whatever that is, right? Now this is, again, Reuven is shaking, it's nodding his head because of the scientific fact. It's not only a halacha, right? It's a scientific fact. This is a scientific fact. The truth is, in that case, what we're going to follow, this Mishnah Machshir, the steam that rises from food is that food, that's called ke'ikra, it's like the ikra, and therefore it's milking, it's fleshing, it's available for tzeifus, as the case may be, whatever it's coming up from. And this is something, again, which is understood, because, again, the liquid of that object is the steam that's coming from it, and it has the tamei ikra, by the way. If anyone's curious, they can try it. It's a really good idea for an experiment.
Good for the kids for their science trip.
Oh, there you go. In other words, put your hand over steaming chicken, leave it there for a while, just make sure not to burn yourself, and take a lick. It's there. Chicken soup.
You have to wait 6 hours?
Take chicken soup. If it's the egg, it's there. Take chicken soup. Let it rise onto your hand. The condenser is right there. Lick it off. It's there. It's chicken soup, right? It has exactly that flavor also.
Do we say that it only rises?
Rather than fall?
The shiloh is pot on the top or both parts?
Right now the shiloh is pot on the top. However, of course, we're going to deal with all of those guys. So, now there is a yesod, which we're going to get to later on, which says that min hadin reicho lav milsa. The smell, the aroma of something, so that's lazmosa. That's insignificant. But zeyo, which goes beyond the smell, but actually is the steam, that's milsa. That's yesh pe mamish, and again, it's a deraiso ke'iker. And it's like eating the thing itself. So now, let's go to a seif in Shulchan Aruch. The seif in Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Machabas Shulcholo, shenos noy bekira. You took a milchiger pan and put it in the oven tachas kedeir shal bazar under a fleishiger pot with meat in it. Hazeyo oilov and nivla bakedeiro the oisirosa. The steam goes up from the bottom pot into the top pot and afters it. What's this? They are goyla on the side. Chumas arosh. That's the chumas arosh that we just went through. This machaber paskin straight out of that chumas arosh.
Does it go the other way too? So then what about the hollow? The steam went up from the hollow, the one that made trace the bus, but the hollow down on the bottom
that's
shelf.
That's what was just brought up, and absolutely, we're going to see it. It becomes a mixture eventually. But here, you know where that mechaber is? Simen Tzadik Beis Seif Ches. That's the mechaber. Simen Tzadik Beis Seif Ches. What's the significance of that? The reason for that is that whoever remembers the Bir Agra, when he talked about a pot cover, he said, look at Simen Tzadik Beis Seif Ches. What does it say in Simen Tzadik Beis Seif Ches? It says there, the halacha of the inside of an oven, the two pasimah, of the shaykhis, of these two things. The shaykhis is, what's going on over there? Again, there's no physical contact, at least apparently, between the two pas inside the oven. But yet at the same time comes the Mechaber and says, Fleishiger pot became awesome. Right? No. Why is that? Despite the fact that there's no physical contact, at least apparently, that it still becomes also, is because, as we saw in the Rosh, the Zeyo is the same thing as the thing itself. Oy vazoy, from the chayz, like Reuven said, the actual milk is touching the upper part and getting nivla in it. Zok tigra, hu hadin, v'hu hatam, same halacha, for the same reason will happen. You put a pot cover on top, the wrong pot cover, you put a milk sugar pot cover. On top of a flesh sugar pot with a piece of meat on it. What ends up happening over here? The meat is nivla in the pot cover. Now, previously it was also nivla in that pot cover, milk. So what just happened? Just cooked most of the whole. That's what just happened. By putting on a pot cover. This is what happens in Siman Tzadik Beis, Seifchas. That's where that is. And that means the pot cover. Why is it a milk sugar pot cover? Again, same thing, same question. Why is it a milk sugar pot cover? Same reason. Because originally it was on a milk sugar pot. It was Bilei Azeya, a milk. Now it's on a flesh sugar pot. Bilei Azeya, it's a meat. You just cooked those two Zeyas together. And therefore, when all of these Zeyas and Bliyas get involved with each other, mixed with each other, now we can go to what everyone was bringing up here. Of course, the condensers, again, these are all scientific facts. Take a look at the cover, take a look at it. Condensation on the cover. Condensation on the cover is already in a mixture of both. Condensation on the cover falls back down in. Falls in, and after what's on bottom. This is already following just plain facts of the way these things mix and operate, and then we're ending up mixing and matching over here between all these different things that are going on, and therefore the bottom is also going to become also as a result of this going on for long enough that the two Zayas have mixed in the cover and come back down into the pot of stuff.
And is there any report to the shishim?
Absolutely. Yes.
Because normally with the pot, you're saying the pot absorbs the whole wall, so you're not thought the shishim is going to send it out. Here you're talking about small amounts. You're not talking about if it's cooking in the pot and absorbing from what's in the entire walls.
Very true. Very true. And there will absolutely be small amounts of the shishim. That's not going to be forthcoming tonight, but absolutely. That's part of, it's going to be part of the equation. But again, I don't want to do anything like that. And, you're talking about the food in the pot. What's in the cover itself, there's only bleas of both together. So you'll have to deal with the pot cover as a separate issue, what you do with that cover. What you do with the food, absolutely there'll be such calculations of the commission. Okay, so let's go back to our ovens compared to old ovens. So now you take a flesh sugar pot and put it into our ovens. Right? Now again, the flesh sugar pot has flesh sugar food in it, doesn't touch the tanner, but back to the Mechaber and back to the Havona we have now. Zeya comes out of the flesh sugar pot, goes into the walls of the tanner, and turns the Zeya again, is like a piece of flesh sugar, and turns the oven flesh sugar also. Now, the old ovens were not like this. Why? Because the old ovens were all open, fully open from one side at least, right? The front was open, the top was open, whatever it was open. And therefore, when that happened, there was always room for the steam to rise out, to leave, to go out of it, right? And therefore, they would use the same tanner for milking some fleshes, okay? Who says this? I'm not making it up. So Orach HaShulchan himself, even in his day, Orach HaShulchan was not as long ago. Now, he's not in ancient times, Orach HaShulchan, maybe he lived over 100 years ago, but he's in Tzadik Beis Seif Nun Hei, and he says as follows. Hine b'din zeyo, misbarer lono mi mishne b'machshirin, which we are familiar with, t'loi shayich zeyo elo b'mokim hamukov. Zeyo applies, the halacha of zeyo applies in a place that is encircled or enclosed. Loi b'mokim goli, not in a place which is open. Kimoi, v'kira, sha'kedera atachtoyna nesuna bo, The steam is going up and it has no way to go out of. But in our ovens, he says in his days, back then, there's an opening to the air. Hazeo oila ba'avir. It goes out, it escapes, and therefore ain't a oyster akadera sodafo. It's not going to answer the pot, which on the other hand, so he drew a distinction between very old ovens and his oven. Now we're going to have to do those little distinctions back to our ovens where they're closed. And therefore,
not adequately for this purpose.
This is one of the things we're going to have to discuss is what's called open, right? But again, in the old days, one side was open. The ours are small ovens. They may be smaller than the old ovens. Okay, I'm not, a bulky in every person's oven in the old days, but the small ovens are closed. And if you're cooking meat in there, then the zayat, those go into the walls, and the oven, therefore, turns into a fleisha kapas. It turns into its own fleisha kapas. It's basically just a fleisha kapas. It's cooking meat inside it. There's no cooking meat inside it. Because the meat is evaporating into your oven. Now the Chelkis Yaakov, that's a Braish from Tirich, in his Chuvis, and I'm not going to say the Maran Mokim because his Madur has changed and his different Maran Mokim, the old edition, the new edition, whatever it is. He was asked this Shaila. Why is it, he says, that our ovens become fleshy? And he writes there that in the Matthias that is discussed in that Shaila there, he starts off by saying that there are actual boiling drops spritzing all over from the pot into the oven. So you're ending up with actual mamoshes there. And he writes, "Benidim vidan kishiyesh be'en shel boter al hatano," is actual meat on the oven. Oi, no, then he says, "I machmas hazeo, I mishum nitzayis." Either because of a zeo or because of an incisus. And incisus means drops which spritz around. So one way or another, he says, you're ending up with a situation where you have actual meat on your oven walls, either because the drops spritz there and you see it with your eyes, or it happened because of the steam, but as far as he's concerned, it's all the same thing. Later on, he writes, Ani Roya Bebesi, he writes his own personal anecdotal experience. He says, I see my own house, Tanu Gav Shali. My gas oven, he says, that all they bake there, he says, in their oven, in his house, challah for Shabbos, and cakes with oil, he says, in there's oil in the cakes, and they're done, he says, in aluminum pans, aluminum or iron pans, he says, and also, he says, kugel for Shabbos. The kol hatanu molei in be'en shol sham nimis. He says, the only thing we did is these two things. We don't smear the walls of our oven with our food, but it's there. He says, the whole oven is full of this stuff. So again, he says, imi shaman itzaitis, oy hazeya, where it comes from, I don't know, I don't care, he says. It's one or the other. And either it's actually spritzing out as it is, and if not, the steam that's leaving its telltale signs on the oven walls. But either way, he says, that's the Messias. He refuses, it seems, to entertain the possibility that his wife was the worst power boss than anybody else. And basically, he says, this is what happens in my house. I see it with my own eyes. Yeah, we're officially doing clean baking here, but it's not the Messias. It's on your oven, one way or another. And again, Zeya is enough of a reason.
Again, that's assuming that it's only uncovered. As opposed to...
True.
If
we're going to get to this...
Okay. It has to be, if the steam comes out, the steam will have beneath the oils.
No, but how will the steam come out? If you cover your
pipe, We'll get this.
If you cover 9x13 pipe with aluminum foil, the steam doesn't come out.
Okay.
We have to have a pressure cooker maintenance. If you look at it, if that oven is over 212 degrees, steam must come out.
Okay.
It must come out.
Okay, and this is going to have to be an important discussion, which we will have. Hey, Zashem, believe me. Now, the Midrash Yitzchak, Avais, in Chelek Hei Siman Chof, also writes about the Shaila of our ovens, also asks it for the same reason, Zeya, the steam. Now, earlier on, before the Midrash Yitzchak, and before Rav Braish, there is a tshuva for Rav Braish, which was written 65 years ago. Tovshin Yudalit. how fascinating, who it was written to. Written to a Yid by the name of Chaim Schloss, who some of the Olim here knew. Rabbi Schloss, he wasn't known as Chaim Schloss. Rabbi Schloss! And this tshuva, the Rabbi Schloss, Rabbi Schloss. I'm out of all this, that I heard the name here enough times to know, because it doesn't say that it was written to Oak Park or to Detroit. But it does say his name there. And it was written to him. Now he came along. See, what, I think what's historically fascinating about all the tshuvas I just mentioned, you would think that by the time Rav Moshe came along, and especially by the time of Mishat Yitzchak and Rav Jaish came along, this was probably a settled halacha. But you see it developing here in America especially. Rav Moshe comes along, like I said, of Tovshin Yud Dalid, right? That's basically 10 years after the war. People had just come to America, they're still figuring it out at the American office. And Rabbi Schloss tried, he made a very honest effort to give Rav Moshe enough reason to make call on these ovens that there's no issue on them. He actually made three attempts, and Rav Moshe reshaches one by one, all three, of his different timers, of why it should be mutter. Let's take them one by one. His first reason is, he says that there's enough space between the pot and the walls of the oven, that therefore, he says, you know, when the steam has to travel that far, he says, then the oven is that big, and the steam has to rise that much, it's going to evaporate and dissipate, he says, before it actually hits the walls. Kind of number one. Look, to Moshe, it's not true. He says the walls and the roof of the oven are very hot, and therefore, when the steam hits them, it becomes very hot, and it does not cool off before it hits the walls of the oven. He refuses to accept that time. Number two, he says, these ovens have somewhat of an opening, he says, somewhere on the side for some of the steam to escape. So he wants to now make it through Shtel, Rabbi Schloss does, through the places where we find an open thing is not a problem. So he says, maybe there's an opening that's good enough. So Kamesha, it's not true. It doesn't help for Zeya, he says. And how does he know? He says, what's the Makar? What's the source of this whole story, he says? Where did we get this from, the whole thing with Zeya? He said, it came from the story of the Merchat. The Mishnah Machshirim, just speaking about a Merchat. Do you think, he says, if there's no opening in a Merchat, he'd buy it there, he says. There's obviously some vent that allows some of the steam to escape. He says, definitely has some opening, and yet, there's still Zeya in there, which is very serious. And why is that, he says? Because the only way for all the Zeya to go out, in a way that it becomes insignificant, is like, and again, he finally puts it openly, that the pshat is, it has to be completely open from at least one side. Right? One side is completely open, then, okay, it'll all go that way. But the fact that all sides are closed, but there's some opening somewhere, not good enough, Dr. Meshach. Number three, Rabbi Schloss Tainas, that you can be toiler that hot in the oven, that the steam actually dries out and is burnt to a crisp, not to a crisp, obviously, but, and therefore, it ceases to exist. Dr. Meshach, the main problem that we have here is not going to be necessarily the steam that remains within the air of the oven, which you can then tell me eventually whatever happens to it, but it becomes nivla. That's what we're more concerned about. The steam that actually is absorbed into the walls of the oven. And therefore, since that's so, he says, that doesn't dry out or anything like that because of the heat of the oven, v'lochein. Yesh la'achmeh l'maitha sheloi levashel batanur kederes negulos. You should l'maitha, he says, you must be machmeh not to cook with open pots in the oven, because you cook with open pots in the oven, but he's referring to open pots in the oven of milchik and of leishik. So you're going to have to pick your choice, and you're going to have to pick that.
And so cleaning ovens?
Okay, so we'll leave that one there. So where are we going now? Basically, up until now, what do we have? So we have, what does the Mishnah say? It says, either you pick one or the other and stick to it. Or, you got to keep it closed. Right? Okay, so this is where we start dealing with closed and off closed, and we'll deal with that also. Okay, so let's get to some halacha l'maaseh. First of all, what has come out so far? So what's clear is, in one oven, you want to take milk extrapolation. In one oven, bake them there together, clearly you can forget about it. It's open, the steam is going up, it's mixing together, and it becomes both the whole of the yaisa, and like the Rosh says, that's also even the b'dieva. Okay, so this we saw openly in the Rosh and in the Shulchan Aruch. This is plain halacha. Now, what about somebody who doesn't want to do that? You don't want to do that. You don't want to cook milk and flesh together in your oven. Yeah, you saw the Shulchan Aruch, gevaldik. So the Chum said, oh, know that. But what if you have one oven, and you want to be able to use that one oven for milchis and for fleishis? Not together, but you want to be able to use one oven for milchis and for fleishis. So there we saw also, but here comes the Chalukis Yankov and the Milchus Tzitzchus and those Chumas that they speak about when they say that it's awesome. And they say, of course, the best Eitzah, like many people here have already raised, and most people are familiar with this already, which is that the best Eitzah, of course, is first of all, the best idea is to have two separate ovens, okay? Givaldic. That you don't have to be so brilliant for that. But what happens if somebody doesn't have that? And not everybody has it. You have to use only one oven. So once we understand, now we understand what the cover makes the difference about. Once you understand that the whole cause of any issue is only Zaya, it's only steam, and that's the only thing that it's all about in the first place. So now we know that we have to stop the steam. In order to be able to use one oven for both, we need to be able to get rid of the steam. So, how do we do that? We cover the pans, we cover the pots, all of the steam remains inside, and that is in that same Ramah, who says, what he said before, he also says this thing, also this halacha, which is, keep it covered, and mainly you don't have any zeya. Like, as they discussed, what the zeya does, he says, govern it doesn't. Now, what was the makor of the Zin of Zeya? Was the Chubis HaRosh and the Shulchan Aruch of Brinz. And the Mechaber said, passing like the Rosh, it's also even with the Eben. Zok Tiramo. Kol Ze, Mayri, Shamachvas, Megule, Vazeyo, Oilo, Min Hamachol, Atzmoy, Lakadeiro, Shalom. This is all true. When the pot on the bottom is open, the bottom pot, which we're worried about just sending up the steam, is uncovered. Therefore, the steam comes up from the food itself to the pot above it. Everything is mutter. Mida da'aveh, just as we find, where? Let's pay attention to this, because this is going to come up a number of times. Shtei kederes noigos zoo bazoo. Two pots that are actually touching each other. Yeah? Here we are talking about plain, open, apparent physical contact between two pots. So you have two pots touching each other. One is a milking pot with milk inside. One's a plaging pot with meat inside. And these two pots are touching each other. Yeah? Open, plain contact. The ein oisin zeh ben agia. These are not after each other by touching. The kosher came b'zeyo. What does that mean? That means two dry pots. Two pots are dry. Even if they're touching each other, it's all mutter. It's all mutter. Right? What does that mean? That means bliyos need to be conducted from one place to the other. Bliyos don't fly out into the air. It doesn't work that way. They need to be taken out of one thing and passed along to another thing. And that happens only by means of hot liquid. Liquid is what conducts bliyos from one place to the other. Therefore, zok teramah, if you have a milchig pot on the bottom and it's covered, so what happens? Now the zeya is going to go be nivla into the pot cover. Okay, so now you have a milchig pot cover. On top of it, you have a fleishig pot. The fleishig pot also has steam. Its steam is going to the fleishig pot cover. Both of them are busy shooting steam into their pot covers. Gevaldik, no problem. What do we have here? You have pots one on top of the other. They're not even touching each other. He said, even if they were touching, it wouldn't be a problem. concerns, they're not touching. And says they're inside the pot and never went anywhere. What are we worried about? He says that's called. Today it's like in this case, where it's covering, and we're not even talking about a piece of food, we're talking about Zaya, but it doesn't come out, and there isn't any actual liquid meeting between the two of them. Therefore, they're not two pots that are touching. They're one oven, but they're not touching.
Who says that?
So again, if they're together and they are touching, it's also not a problem. So they're in one oven and they're not touching. What's with the Elamai? The Zaya was touching, not even touching. The study one is touching its own pot cover. So therefore, it's not a problem. So you see the Indian that we're understanding over here, which takes us through everything that's Nagaya tonight. Heat doesn't answer anything, right? In other words, there's no such thing as Fleisha Geheat. There's no Fleisha Geheat. There's no Milchi Geheat, there's no Chomitz Geheat, and there's no Trefa Heat. What there is only Zaya. Which means you need to have actual, tangible steam there. And that's when there becomes a shiloh over this. So therefore, you can leave an oven completely parish. And at the same time, you can cook and bake in there, milk again, flesh again, and the oven remains completely parish. Why? It's covered. That's the reason. Closed on, it's covered. Nothing changed. Now, hashtetzach, it should be pointed out, because this is all talking about when you're not splattering it all over the place, right? If you have mamoshes or some mamoshes, that's a different story. But we're talking about nothing splattered out. We're just concerned about the steam, so is this steam or not? So even if you have some kind of a gut feeling that tells you that, how do you mean? A place you go over the top. Again, there is no place in the heat. It has to remain clean. It does have to remain clean. It doesn't remain clean, it's under the nicer, but as long as it remains clean, they don't have any issues. Now what about using the same shelves or the same racks in the oven for milk and fleishiks? So again, if we're going to follow what the Amor says over here about shtei kederes noigers zu b'zu, which again tells us that even if you have fleishiks and milkiks, the pots, touching each other directly, but there's nothing conducting the bleus from one to the other in the male itself today. So therefore, the same halacha will say over here, the le halacha, according to the Yisrael, you can take a fleshig pot, put it onto the rack. Take a milchig pot, put it onto the same rack. Doesn't matter, as long as you didn't have liquid conducting it, it's fine. And yet, some place can be safe, yet better is if you can put down a different piece of silver foil on top of the rack for the milchigs or for the fleshigs. And that way, you don't have to worry about anything spritzing out or any water or any liquid getting in the middle over there and conducting any bleus, because you have this piece of silver foil for milchigs. I took your milchig pot, a piece of milchig silver foil is out. You put another piece of silver foil, put your fleishig pot down on that. No matter what happens now, you're not going to have any issue once you take it out with the piece of silver foil. But I do want to say that halacha, it is mutter without that as well.
One problem I have with this is that, again, there's always steam coming out unless the pot is hermetically sealed into the oven, but it doesn't go back in to the pot. It's only going out into the oven space.
Yes.
So the concept is saying, well, it doesn't do anything to the oven.
Has to be discussed, right? Sure. Well, we know that. I don't know if we're going to get to it in the next 10 minutes, but we'll discuss this very well, Shem, at least the Hamshach, as you later between the Chamayim or different things. Okay, so what comes out to be the simplest and best piece of advice is, again, cover things properly. What's called properly, we're going to have to discuss back here, but cover it properly, and therefore you keep your oven a powerful oven. What are you covering? Again, best, safest, cover everything. Cover the milk that goes in, cover the flakes that goes in, your oven remains completely powerless, and therefore, in this case, Dr. Pam, if you did that, you don't have to wait at all, it's only 24 hours, you don't have to wait 1 hour. Take out the milchigs, put in the fleishigs, put in the fleishigs, put in the milchigs, all this is good. It's a power of oven, you can do whatever you want in there, and therefore you can also take, of course, this takes us straight to other practical issue, which is, you can then take your cakes, power of a cake, bake it right in there, take your challahs, bake it right in, power of oven. Ah, you bake milk in the place, you clean it also? No problem. Allah says, good, it's all figured out. Everything is parav. The milk, I mean, the oven is parav, therefore whatever you bake in there open, which is your challah and cake, is parav. No shilas at all, and that's not
the
problem.
Some of the recipes call for it to be uncovered.
This is where I want to get to right now. What do you do, Taka? Like Dr. Ellenberg is pointing out, what do you do when some recipes call for things to be uncovered? Right? You want it to get a crisp or a crunch or whatever it is, or you're frying something in there, and it's not going to help to cover it. So get all the gates, but it just, it's not practical. So, and especially with fleishik, it's definitely often so that, you know, at least for some of the time, it needs to be baked open. And in that case, of course, back to what we've been saying up until now, Dizaya, you just turned your oven fleishik. You turned your oven fleishik. What are you going to do here to bake milchik? So again, simplest thing is, even if you have your fleishiks open, so you turned your oven fleishik. So, not as good as our old case where we had a fully potable oven and everything was potable. We just turned the oven fleishik. Of course, what you can do is to take your milchiks and do that cover. So now you did covered milchiks in a fleishik oven. Okay. You can put a covered milchik in a fleishik oven.
You have to cover your fire, too.
What?
You have to cover your fire.
I'll get to that. So again, so the fact that the oven is milchik, it's fleishik. And you do covered milchik in this, we don't care if the oven is fleishik. Why? Again, the ear of the oven, the heat of the oven is not fleishik. What's fleishik? Only when the zeyah there, then it starts to add and subtract and put in and out whatever is that's going on. But if the milchik is covered, so we're back to steak, there's nothing that can box the bleas into each other because there's no zeyah being passed, and therefore, that's fine. No loss. First of all, you have a more serious shaila now on the racks, because now it's very possible that if you're constantly doing open fleishiks inside of your oven, that it's much more possible, or maybe even probable, that your racks are going to turn fleishik one way or the other. And again, what you can do is put down a piece of silver foil on top, which deals with that issue, and again, it's like straight today, so make it zoo-bazoo, because nothing can get through to your fleishik rack there. Even if your rack is fleishik, have this piece of silver foil on top, anything that comes out onto it, it's not getting to your fleishik rack. So it's not going to take out the bleas of your fleishik rack. So that's fine. But now, as was just pointed out, what are you doing with your parav that you baked in your fleishik oven? So here we finally get to that child, right? If you want to bake challah for Shabbos, you want to bake bread, cake, within 24 hours, even, of making open fleishiks in there. Will you be allowed to eat that challah with milchiks? Let's say, you want to have challah shudas with milchiks. You baked your challah in a fleishik oven. Can you use it for that? Or do we have to say that the challah that was baked in the fleishik oven is still fleishik? Or like I said, what about cookies and milk? Could you do that? In other words, let's take this from the top. If you would have taken parav and cooked it in a fleishig pot, that's a ben yoimoi, right? You took rice and cooked it a few hours after cooking chicken in the same fleishig pot. Yeah, that mechayim gets a din of fleishig. So what happens when you baked challah, cookies, cakes in a fleishig oven? Is that the same halacha? So let's go back to the same yisur. The ear of the fleishig oven, is the ear fleishig? Is not fleishig. What could create a shiloh? Only zeyah. Now this brings us to an important question. Let's say we could come up with a case where we have a food that doesn't have zeyah. For some reason or another, you baked a food in the oven and it has no zeyah. And it's open in a fleishig oven. Does it become fleishig or not? Right? L'chayre? It shouldn't become fleishig, right? Okay. So, what about soup? You put soup in the oven, definitely zeyah there. That's the case of the Rosh. That's the case of the Merchatz. This is the real thing. It's just like water. What about a food? That depends. There are very, very moist foods, which are made up of a lot of liquid, right? Let's say you take real cheese and put it into the oven. Take chicken or meat, which is constantly shooting off a tremendous amount of steam because it's made up of a tremendous amount of zeyah. And it remains that way, by the way. All these chickens are meats. Why are they good? Because they made moist all through the process, right? This is the way they're meant to be. You don't want to dry out the chicken and meat. You don't want to dry out your cheese or whatever it is that you're baking in there. You have a cheesecake in there. You don't want it to become, I mean, it depends what kind of cheesecake, what type. But what about a drier piece of food? Let's say you take bread and toast it in the toaster. That also has to have zeyah that is relevant to our question. It's very little zeyah. And this is where the shaila comes up. Because it's not clear that many of these parable foods actually have enough of a significant amount of zeyah that they should be relevant to our shaila. So Moshe there, in the Gesmoshe, your day chelk alf nun tes, says, Mistaber shebaafio ein mochosh lezeyah. The Stavis, he says, that when you're baking things, baking as in baking baked goods, Chayri says you don't have to worry at all about Zeya in this case, because it's not enough to worry about. The only time you have to worry, he says, is when you're cooking with an open pot in the oven, then you have to worry. In other words, it depends how moist or dry is the food that you're dealing with. In an earlier Tshuva Elisha, Simon Mem over there, Bistoma ein lochush L'shema heziyu b'dvorim yevesha. Generally speaking, things that are relatively dry, you don't have to worry about their zeya at all. Umutar b'stoma b'zachazeh. As far as I'm concerned, he says, my assumption will be, you'll be able to do these things one after the next. What does that mean? Stam bread, stam challah, stam cake. We're going to assume that these things do not create enough zeya, and the same is definitely true about cookies, more than cake, which means, of course, there are cakes, there are certain cheesecakes, of course, which are meant to remain mamish, very moist, and things like that. Lasagna, let's say, you can see totally that it's a thing that's made with a tremendous amount of water in it, and some of that water should stay in it in the end, clearly. But most of the things that are baked, as baked goods, and that comes to the bread and cookies and those things, have the same halacha as a kedeir and luchos, as a covered pot, even when they're not covered. Why? They don't have enough zeya to create a problem. And therefore, you can take these things, bake them in that flay sugar oven, right? And it still remains parve.
Even Daniela?
That's what we're talking about. Yeah. It remains parve anyway.
Maybe Daniela, how about the previous flay sugar thing, it doesn't come out of the wall?
It's only going to come out when there's a significant amount of zeya to take it out.
To take it out, right.
So therefore, that Yishalayim at all that I told about earlier, what he's taking, when I called him back, with this shayla. With his cookies, and I said, what's up with the cookies? Are they slashing or they're not slashing? He said, Azevi ich pashtei, azuvel tzlechazach mitzvah. And he said, you can eat it, you don't say, I didn't even ask it. And that's why I thought, I know. And I asked him, Mishael. He said, I understand, you probably want to eat cookies and milk. You don't say, you can go ahead and eat it with milk as is. Now, the reason that this is so, we're going to end off by saying for now, the truth is there are places that will hold that unless it's actual liquid, there is no zeya at all, period. Even foods that have a lot of liquid, there's some place where it holds, we're not mishachet to that liquid at all. It has to be just plain liquid, soup, water, milk, whatever it is. That's the only thing that creates zeya to enough significance that we care about it. Now, it's not the way that we do it. We're machmer. But we're machmer when something is taka, moist, fatty food, and the schmaltz coming out of there, and whatever else, yeah, we're taka machmer on that also. But a food that is mostly dry, we're not machmer, and therefore, even though there are fleshy gebliyos in that oven, from that direction, the only way for it to come out is through zeyo, and zeyo is not there, and we'll continue to try to